When you're fed up with fighting food and your body, join us here. I'm Ali Shapiro, creator of the Truce with Food program and your host for Insatiable, where we explore the hidden aspects of fighting our food, our weight, and our bodies, and dive deep into nutrition science and true whole health. Fair warning, this is not your parents' health care. This is a big rebel yell to those who crave meaning, hunger for truth, and whose lust for life is truly insatiable. Believe me, freedom awaits. Welcome, everybody, to season 9 of Insatiable. Our season theme is fertility. This topic often gets reduced to periods or pregnancy without regard to the physical, emotional, and soul process involved with our hormones, menstrual cycles, bodies, and identities, regardless if we choose to have children or not. In this season, we will take a holistic and integrated look at fertility to reveal you have more choices than most of us have been led to believe. Being in my 8th month of pregnancy at the time of this recording, I'm now surprised I thought Western medicine would be authoritative on fertility. It is just as fraught with fear tactics, outdated science, and siloed thinking as nutrition, weight loss, and wellness. My hope is we fill in the gaps you might not know are missing, have better questions to ask, and are able to get the results you want on your terms for your period, hormonal health, conception, pregnancy, birth, and the fourth trimester. This fertility theme is also the theme of our Insatiable membership community. We will spend fall, September, October, and November taking a deep dive into the physical, emotional, and soul aspects of fertility for your current life stage, whether you're menstruating, perimenopause, or menopause, or even postmenopause, and how to sync our nutrition, lifestyle, including exercise and creativity, to be in sync with our fertility, to reduce and prevent cravings and optimize our health. For more details on how to join, visit alishapiro.com/IC2019. All right, everyone, welcome to episode 3, How to Optimize Your Body for Fertility with Dr. Joy Sturgill. Dr. Joy is a super special guest. She's the naturopath that I worked with to help me overcome my own fertility diagnosis. And she has a very similar philosophy to me that in the same way that I show my clients weight loss as a side effect of physical, emotional, and psychosomatic balance, Dr. Joy uses fertility as a side effect of us getting healthy. So thank you so much for I got to say your bio before. I was so excited, Dr. Joy. I forgot your bio. Okay, so Dr. Joy received her undergraduate degree in international business, French, and piano from Chatham College in Pittsburgh, PA, and then worked for a few years in project management. Then, through her mother's experience with ovarian cancer, Dr. Joy realized the limitations of a purely conventional medical model and was introduced to alternatives. And unfortunately, it was a difficult time to find a qualified alternative healthcare provider at the time. I know that struggle. Over time, Dr. Joy followed her passion and completed massage school, and through that process discovered naturopathic medicine, which is exactly what she had been looking for. So glad she followed her curiosity. Dr. Joy graduated from Bastyr University in Seattle, Washington, where she received her doctorate in naturopathic medicine. Since then, she's also received certificates in bioenergetic medicine, Reiki, reconnective healing, matrix energetics, and quantum reflux integration. We're going to talk a lot about some of that stuff today. Dr. Joy honors the uniqueness of each individual and provides support to each patient's innate healing abilities. She is passionate about uncovering and addressing the root causes of disease and helping people to understand all the factors that contribute to our experience of health and well-being. When she's not providing compassionate care and holistic solution, Dr. Joy loves spending time with her 4 children, the best partner she could ask for, an Australian Shepherd, and 3 cats. Thank you so much for being here. There's your official introduction.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Allie.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So before we get into some of your philosophy, I would love if you can help people understand the difference between, first of all, functional medicine and naturopathy, because I think a lot of people are turning to functional medicine now, and yet when I worked with you, you uncovered stuff that functional medicine didn't address for me.
Correct, yes. Well, some of my good friends are in functional medicine, but one of those good friends is a very, strong proponent of functional medicine. I remember seeing in a post like the definition of functional medicine. And I thought, you know what? That is the original naturopathic medicine. But I think functional medicine is a good bridge for people who are coming from conventional medicine and don't really know about natural medicine or how natural medicine works. I mean, functional medicine largely are, you know, medical doctors who've gone back and gotten a certificate in functional medicine. But I do feel like it's a lot of like standard of care, meaning kind of protocol driven. And, you know, there are limitations to that. Like it can miss things. Like, for instance, I had a patient that came to me ultimately. She had been seeing a functional medicine doctor for SIBO, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, for months and had undergone like thousands of dollars worth of testing and supplementation only to still have the SIBO. So the testing involved can be time intensive and cost intensive, and you have to do it kind of repeatedly to check the progress. But that can be the same with regular naturopathic medicine. I mean, naturopaths use the same type of testing and similar protocols. That's really why I do what I do, which is the bioenergetic medicine. And that involves more so using testing devices in the office to communicate with a patient's body, getting the feedback, getting the information possessed by the body, because a person's body knows exactly what's going on in it. And a medical doctor back in the 40s discovered a way to access that information. So we use that type of testing, and it kind of like cuts out all of that kind of more scientific testing. Then we can get the same information and more all at once with the bioenergetic testing. And with the bioenergetic medicine via the testing, we go to the wisdom of the body to ask the body what exactly it needs instead of putting in place protocols that may or may not work. So that's kind of the difference between functional medicine, which is similar to naturopathic medicine, and how it differs from bioenergetic medicine.
Yeah, I love that. And for people listening, when Dr. Joy is saying a protocol, it basically means they're giving you a standard treatment plan. So mm-hmm. And based on emerging research, which is great, and the research is, you know, 30, 40 years, which is new in the scientific community, right? It's mm-hmm. kind of like, right. Oh, we just discovered there's this huge microbiome. It's so complex. And we're kind of learning as we're going. And what Dr. Joy is saying, and that's one of the things I wanted to ask you, is what she uses specifically as almost a sub-branch of naturopathic medicine,
yes,
is this bioenergetic. So it's going right to the body. Mm-hmm. And the body's telling you what you need. And I love that you said it's a bridge, because I mentioned this on another podcast about our work together. Like, if I had not understood functional medicine or knew so deeply myself that I could be my own healing agent and how powerful natural medicine is, I don't know if I would have stuck with our work, because I was like, I believe in it. Obviously, I'm having you on and it's worked. And I've sent, right. You know, my mom to you, my sister, mm-hmm. but it's just like, you have to really believe, I think, in the body's healing abilities, which I think some of us are still, functional medicine helps us do that. And then if we want to, you know, we still have other issues.
Correct. Yeah.
And so yeah. I also, yeah, will you explain your bioenergetic medicine? Because once I shared my story, a couple of people had contacted me and I said, you know, here's my naturopath's, you know, information, or if you go to a naturopath, make sure that they're like looking at root causes. And one woman was like, I went and she tested my thyroid, but she only did like the conventional panel. And I was like, not all naturopaths are trained the same, just like not all functional medicine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why do you use biogen? I mean, I know you said that it gives the body direct feedback, and what made you pick this one and why do you find it so powerful?
Okay. I was introduced to it. I mean, I just received a cold call from somebody working for a company that produces bioenergetic remedies, but they also did training for practitioners in bioenergetic medicine. I had never heard of it before. Well, that's not true. There was a doctor that I preceptored with in naturopathic school who did similar kind of testing, specifically just looking at food allergies. So I had some exposure to it, but this is a much more kind of comprehensive model that I was introduced to. At the time, I remember I was kind of facing a challenge. I had one patient who had rheumatoid arthritis, And we were using the standard of care protocol, everything that we were supposed to be doing, you know, the anti-inflammatory diet, all of the right supplements, and nothing was working. And so that's when I, you know, was really thinking like, you know, the reason why this person has rheumatoid arthritis is it could be very different from the reason another person has rheumatoid arthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis is really just a diagnosis. You know, it's a way to describe the symptoms, you know, but it doesn't really tell us why those symptoms are happening. So bioenergetic medicine is a means, and there are different testing modalities. Like when I went to the bioenergetic training, there were practitioners in there, I mean, of all sorts. So there were medical doctors, nurses, dentists, acupuncturists, nutritionists. Learning this testing, some practitioners did not have testing equipment. Some did muscle testing or applied kinesiology. Trained professionals learn to access information directly from the body. Many of you might be familiar with that or heard, like a lot of chiropractors will do muscle testing, muscle response testing, where you can ask the body a question and you check the muscle response. Like usually it's with a limb, like the person holds out their arm and you can ask them a question. And if there is a strong response, meaning the person is able to resist the practitioner's pressure downward on the arm, that is a strong response for the body. We can test like if they were to hold on to, let's say, a piece of bread, you know, and the practitioner's checking food sensitivity, the person will not be able to maintain their arm resistance, meaning their arm will drop no matter how hard they're trying to hold that arm up in response to like the practitioner pressing down on it. Okay. That signifies a weakness in the person's body to that bread. It can be really fun kind of testing this out. I was just showing somebody about muscle testing who'd never been exposed to it this morning, actually at a house call. And it was the same type of thing. I had her hold her arm out. And, you know, I made her say what her name was. My name is so-and-so, and it was her name. And we tested her arm strength, and she maintained her arm. She had no idea what I was going to be doing. You know, she maintained her strong arm in response to my pressure downward on it. Okay. And then I asked her to say, my name is Joyce, which was not her name. And she said that, and she, no matter how hard she tried, she could not keep her arm strong because it was a false statement. It was not something that her body identified with. Okay. So we can achieve that same kind of effect with what is now computer-based testing. Back in the 40s, when this was created by a German medical doctor, Dr. Voll, it was obviously not computer-based. It was more like a kind of glorified ohm meter, basically, and where you can apply electrical impulses to the body and the body sends back electrical impulses and you can get a reading of those impulses. Okay. So what, you know, modern day bioenergetic medicine looks like, or it's also called EAV, electroacupuncture, according to Voll. It is a computer-based software connected to a machine, a testing machine, and there is a point probe attached to the machine, which is attached to the computer, and a hand mass, and somebody holds on the under the hand mass, which is just a copper mat, not a copper mass, a brass mass, which is basically like a grounding agent. And with the point probe, we apply a little bit of electricity to the acupuncture points on the hand, which are associated with all of the organ systems in the body, meaning like via acupuncture points, those points are along organ meridians. And this has been proved by science, by CT scan and other imaging. They have identified like the patterns of meridians, which are just patterns of energy channels that run through our organ systems. So by testing points that are associated with acupuncture points, and it doesn't hurt, it's just like touching a pen to a point, we get feedback on the energy of organ systems in the body. And the responses that we get come onto a graph in the software, and it's a numerical graph ranging from 0 to 100. And there's a normal range of 45 to 55. And if somebody has stress in an organ system, we get a higher reading. So we can tell if an organ system is stressed. If if somebody's organ system is fatigued, we get a lower reading, and we can really test anything we want to in the body. We go through like a specific pattern of points, but we get in so much information about how the body is functioning. Is the thyroid tired? Is the thyroid stressed? Is the endocrine system tired? Is the gut inflamed? Is the liver stressed? And the readings that we get completely match with the patient's presentation, meaning like their symptoms, how their body's functioning. So it's so interesting. And I've had so many times where a patient got normal thyroid readings on blood tests, but really they have every indication in terms of how their body's functioning that their thyroid is not functioning properly. And lo and behold, that's what we see with the bioenergetic testing, okay? So we look at that. That's the first part of the testing. And then secondly, we ask the body about the sources of causal factor, contributing factors to imbalance in the body. So we look at categories like, are there excess bacteria or funguses, parasites, viruses, heavy metals, chemicals, sensitivity to electromagnetic frequencies, like, you know, with cell phones? Are there food allergies? Is there emotional trauma stored in the body? And so on and so forth. We get strong responses, just like we can with that arm muscle testing I was telling you about. We get strong responses that show up on our graph, okay? It's actually the difference in the way we hear and see the reading, because there's a sound to the readings also. We get strong responses when the patient's body identifies with a causal factor like Lyme bacteria or Candida or those sources that I mentioned. Okay, so that's the second part of the testing. And the third part of the testing applies that same kind of concept, but we're looking at what solutions are appropriate for this patient, not somebody else with the same concern. Okay, so it considers the person's whole being, their biochemistry, how their organs are functioning, their combination of causal factors, everything. And their body responds strongly or weakly to remedies or other treatment modalities that we are looking into. You know, does their body want this probiotic versus that probiotic? Does their body want L-glutamine because of leaky gut? Does their body want cat's claw because they've got a bacterial infection, or does it not? And it helps us to even determine the order to treat, because sometimes just because somebody has a particular, let's say, you know, overgrowth of some microbes doesn't mean we should actually just go in and detox those microbes. We might need to prepare the body first. So, and each person's body is different in that sense. So at any time with the testing, we're giving a patient's body exactly what it needs. And in so doing, we're really making the treatment process as efficient as possible. We're not kind of like, well, let's try this, you know, zigzagging this way and that way and this way and that way and wondering, okay, are they not reacting well to this or that, or let's try this or that. And so that is why I use bioenergetic medicine in a nutshell.
I love that. And I just, for everyone listening, I want people to really understand that science is a process, not a destination, meaning every future thinker is predicting that energy medicine is the next frontier, right? And mm-hmm. I think sometimes people are like, well, the science or this, you know, what we often learn at one stage of like you look back at 200 years of what people were believing, we would laugh at a lot of it. Now, granted, some of it has stayed the same. And I just love that you're already doing like bioenergetic medicine. It's super cool.
I know. I mean, sometimes, you know, I think, well, and it's because it's not for everybody. Like we were talking about the bridge, you know, and that's why my friend who was really like a major promoter of functional medicine, and you and I have talked about this, you know, when he was visiting me and I was like, well, what's up? Because he came from bioenergetic medicine. And I was like, well, you know, what's the functional medicine? He's like, well, you know, we're still like 30 years away from people really embracing bioenergetic medicine. What they need now is the bridge. They need this to help them get there. And, you know, I thought that made such, you know, a lot of sense. So the patients that come to me are very specific population. It does require, but once you experience this, as you well know, you really do see that this is your body communicating because it makes sense. You know, you can see the readings on the computer screen. They match with what your experience is. We put the remedies in place and you see how well they work, you know. So really the proof is in the pudding kind of thing, but just sometimes people aren't, you know, they're just not there yet.
Yeah. Well, this could be a whole other podcast of like often what you believe will work has the best shot of working. It doesn't mean it will work, but the placebo effect. So yeah,
if
people feel more comfortable with that. So, okay. So now that we know what we're doing is you have said that a lot of people come to you for fertility and we've talked about this, like you get the rest of whatever their systems are weak back in balance. And so I'm wondering, just as a general theme, obviously everyone's different, but what are some of the common root causes that you see that make getting pregnant and staying pregnant, right? It's not just about getting pregnant, but staying pregnant really difficult? Because I was shocked at, like, I mean, you used the thyroid example. I knew my thyroid had always been sluggish, but according to Western medicine, my TSH levels, you know, were 3.5, which is in the healthy range. And I knew intuitively we had to get them down, but I've never got them as healthy as working with you. And you were like, oh, it was Lyme, it was bacteria, it was, you know, what are some of the, I think, unsuspecting root causes that people might be surprised of why they're struggling to get and stay pregnant?
It's usually a layered process, but I'm going to say, in my observation, really it is about microbes, microbial balance. That's not to say that that's all we should look at, because again, it's a layered process. Like usually, you know, there's a hierarchy of toxic load from what I see. And usually like heavy metals are kind of a first thing to go. Like if there's heavy metals, we don't even necessarily have to go in and detoxify specifically the heavy metals. We just improve the body's ability to process toxins. Okay. That's usually what we do. You know, there's this kind of flow chart from my one bioenergetic company training that I like to use, like got 6 steps in it. And it's really the way the body wants to heal. Now, does everybody that comes in, do we follow this kind of cookie cutter process? No, because everybody is coming in with their organ systems functioning a little differently. So, but anyways, if the neuroendocrine system is out of balance, we've got to balance that. If digestive system is out of balance, we have to balance that. If the detox pathways are congested, we've got to open those up. Those are the first 3 kind of considerations. And by just even looking at that, do we really improve the functioning of the overall body and the body's ability to process toxins? But moving along that, then we can detoxify what is burdening the body and causing the body to not function as optimally as it should be. Okay. So with the kind of common contributing factors, I mean, yes, there's some degree of heavy metals, but really from what I see, it's about microbial balance. And I remember my very first patient that I helped to get pregnant. She wasn't even necessarily coming in for fertility. This was years ago. I mean, this was within my first couple of years of practice when I, you know, I knew a fraction of what I know now. But she was 40 and she hadn't had kids yet. And she came in for digestive issues. And by correcting her digestive issues, which didn't take very long, I have to tell you, she had some IBS type symptoms. Voila, she got pregnant, you know, and she had not one, but then 2 children into her 40s, basically. Healthy pregnancies, healthy births, healthy children. And so, you know, we just help to balance out the gut. The gut is where, right, that's our immune system. That is where a lot of times, like microbial imbalance, by microbial, I mean like yeast or fungus or bacteria or parasites or viruses, that's where we have overgrowth of those. Okay, so by repairing the gut function, we strengthen the immune system, we improve the body's ability to absorb nutrients, we calm the nervous system, because the digestive system has also been called the second brain. There's so much nervous system tissue in there. 95% of serotonin is produced in the intestinal tract. And we detoxify better when the gut is functioning. So we can do a lot just by focusing on that one system. That's a primary thing, I'm going to say. That, candida, which is just an overgrowth of yeast that is present in the gut, but people are predisposed to candida if they have other, you know, microbial imbalances like Lyme or like mold toxicity, which is another common issue I see. One that people just, they would never have a way of knowing, you know, that mold toxins are in their body because we're just not used to thinking that way. So those are some primary underlying causal factors that once we clear those up, once we kind of create a pathway of like for those to exit the body responds by functioning better, including the hormonal system, the thyroid system. In those kind of conditions, the thyroid is always impacted. The thyroid is always impacted. And that is because when we have any kind of microbial imbalance, it causes inflammation. Usually that inflammation is experienced in the gut, whether the patient has symptoms or not. That triggers a response in the liver. The liver becomes stressed in response to inflammation. The liver is where most of T4, thyroid hormone, is converted to T3, which is active thyroid hormone. So we end up with decreased production of T3 very commonly. And so somebody can kind of present with what we call subclinical low thyroid. And very often doctors won't even test T3, you know, on lab tests. And then when we have low thyroid, that can cause an imbalance in our hormones. It causes a relative increase in estrogen and progesterone.
I there's so many things that I want to like highlight that you said for people to listen to.
Sorry, that was a lot.
No, I love it because on the episode before this with Elisa Vitti, we were talking about the dangers of just detoxing right off the pill or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a different conversation. But what you're saying is, and she was saying too is, and I think so many people get this wrong, and is like, first, you need to support your body before you and do all that stuff. And you're going to need different supports based on who you are. And I think that's so, it's such an interesting but subtle mindset shift. I think even away from functional medicine, obviously Western medicine, you are always trusting that the body can do what it does if it gets what it needs, instead of saying you need these outside supplements to detox. I mean, it doesn't mean you might not get support, right? If you're in an acute phase. Right. However, the underlying strategy is just to free the body to do what the body can do.
Oh, that is it. Exactly. That's exactly it.
And that's such more of a long-term solution, I think, than thinking you need to be fixed, right? Again, it's believing that you can self-heal in a way. Obviously, exactly. Support.
And then I have to tell you, it's not a hard process. It really is not. I mean, if you're seeing like a practitioner that knows what they're doing, that's what I love about bioenergetic medicine too, is because I have a tool. It helps me understand the body, like each person's body. And I see the patterns and I see because I've taken so many people through a complete healing process, you know, I have an overview of the whole process and what's entailed. And it's not difficult. I mean, it takes time, like you said, you know, but once you're done, you're done. I mean, yes, you can always run into new sources of toxins and what have you, but by the time people come to see me, let's say they're 30, they've had 35 years on the planet, you know, with all those toxins. So we have a lifetime, you know, kind of to detoxify. But they then they're moving forward with a clean slate. And when things come up in the future from that point, they're able to handle future toxins, you know, much, much better.
Yeah, this one, I mean, of all the healing I've done, this easiest thing, I just showed up at your office. You know, I mean, my diet was already pretty solid, so we didn't really do any of that, but it was just like, order the supplements and wait. And that was the hardest part. And I think one of the things that people need to realize, especially because I, you know, obviously I've been talking to a lot of people who have struggled with fertility, haven't, whatever, is people think they're going to go into IVF and it's going to happen right away. And people need to understand that that's not an immediate fix either. I'm not saying which way to go. I'm just saying, let's be realistic. It's kind of like when people tell me, well, you know, I did a cleanse and I lost 10 pounds. It worked. But then they gained 15 back. And I'm like, well, what time frame are we measuring the total effects of this, right? And I had to work with you for a year and also, you know, an acupuncturist. And I know some of my friends who did IVF for 3 to 4 years. So I just wish we had like a more accurate, like if we understood that each modality is going to take, there's no guarantees with any modality of the timeline.
Yes, with the timeline. Exactly.
Another thing that you said that I think is really important because, again, talking to a lot of people who are struggling with infertility, they'll go to Western medicine and their numbers will be fine. And yet they're still not, you know, still not getting pregnant. And then I remember coming to you with my, like, all my Western medicine numbers of, like, I'm in menopause and my egg count is at, like, it should be at 9 and it is 0.02. But you didn't really seem fazed by that. And so you're still looking at metrics, but different ones. So you're looking at microbes. Mm-hmm. And is that kind of your lens?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just looking at, like you said, like, the body is meant to function. I mean, unless obviously there's some, like, significant genetic issue, you know, at birth that a person is having to deal with. But the body is meant to function. It knows how to function, and it's not functioning because something is interfering with the functioning. So it's just a matter, a simple matter of removing what is causing it not to function, really. That's just it, plain and simple. So, and that's too what I have to look at. Like, if there's something, like when you came in, you were, you just were like, you wanted your body to function. That was your goal. You know, you wanted your body to function, and because you knew it could, right? So for women trying to get pregnant, you know, I think, and say they're having challenges, you know, with fertility, I think that's just the body's way of saying, hey, something is off and we need to take a look at that. And so, I mean, I do work with women who, I actually love to work with women who are pursuing IVF, because IVF can be very hard on the body. And natural medicine can help the body to process those medicines better. And so I think that natural medicine improves the efficacy of the IVF. That's what I've seen.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I'm not trying to say either or. In fact, I think that's a brilliant point that you brought up, and I was hoping people would walk away with, is you can do both.
Yeah, I mean, I highly recommend anybody who's doing IVF use natural medicine, because with the IVF, you know, you're really pumped a lot into the body kind of in an artificial way, and that can cause a lot of stress in the body, and natural medicine can really help the body to process everything it's getting, and it can help to balance out. So from what I've seen, my patients that have come in already using IVF, things happen very quickly, you know, when you introduce natural medicine. And I want to say, too, we have to think about this. We're creating another human here, ultimately, right? We want to pass on the least amount of toxic load we can to that human. So here, if we can just look at this, like, break it down. When we are having trouble getting pregnant, that's our sign that something's off in the body, okay? So when we correct those imbalances in the body, meaning detoxify toxins, reduce inflammation, maybe heal traumas, okay, we then optimize conception. We are then passing on, because a mother passes on, not to freak anybody out, because I certainly passed on plenty of toxins to my children, because I knew less at the time, but a mother passes on 60% of her toxic load to her baby. So if we can detoxify prior to conception, we're passing on less toxic load. We have a healthier baby. We have a healthier pregnancy. We have a healthier baby, you know, and that's really what I love so much, you know, is that we can help to create a healthier future for our planet.
Yeah. Well, I love that you said that. I mean, I feel like this is kind of a side note. An acupuncturist and naturopath I know in another country had posted about the increase of breast cancer rates for people who do IVF. And everyone attacked her online, being like, you're shaming women who have already had a hard time. And I'm like, I'm sure, I know, starting my own company has taken years off my life, right? Like, everything we probably do has taken years off of our life. But I'm like, when have we got into such this polarization that we can't, this is what informed consent is about. It's okay if you do it and then know the consequences. And then, you know, to your point, like, then use natural medicine to help you with the choices that you've made. And I think that's the one thing that working with you and has just reminded me of, like, how the body always gives you second chances, how it always circle back, and it's always like on your side if you know how to decode it.
That is a beautiful point.
But I'm thinking about, like, you know, because obviously I had heavy metals, and I'm like, oh my God. And I detoxed them with you, but I'm like, my body was carrying those around for 40 years, you know, and doing the best they could with them. And then they were like, all right, you're fortified enough now. You can let them go.
Right.
So yeah. And that brings up a point, I think, too, of using naturopathic medicine or natural medicine, meaning food, sunlight, mm-hmm. whether it's bioenergetic medicine or whatnot, mm-hmm. through conception and later on in life. Because, right, it's not just about getting pregnant and staying pregnant, but it's like the health of us. So what do you see as important, especially postpartum and into a new journey for baby and child? I know that's kind of mm-hmm. not what we plan on talking about, but if you don't mind just commenting on that.
No, it's fine. Yes. So women do come to me postpartum. Well, I mean, both established patients that we've seen through pregnancy. And the thing is, like, when you take this approach, let's say prior to getting pregnant, then there tend to be less issues after pregnancy, right? So that's one thought there. But certainly, I mean, we can address a woman at any stage, like, which basically just the same approach. So, you know, if there is hormone imbalance, or which I guess is the most common thing after delivery, then we just use the same, you know, concepts to balance those out. Also, too, with babies, I mean, we can see newborns. Many people bring their newborns in, which I love. And we can test the baby. Now, we don't test on the baby. We do then what is called surrogate testing. And so I would either test on the mom or the dad or on myself as a surrogate. And that it works just the same. And it's because it's all based in energy and quantum physics, which, you know, the guiding principle is, you know, thought is energy, is matter. And so we can get a feel for the health of the baby after birth. Like, are there any issues? Generally, babies are pretty clean, but sometimes babies are born with, like, genetic mutations in the genes that regulate the methylation pathway, for instance, which is an indication that they're not going to process toxins as well. And so that's a consideration when we think about introducing various toxins into their bodies. And we can even, or like, say, if a baby comes in, you know, like if they're just having colic, we can determine the cause. You know, is there a food that the mom's eating? Is there an imbalance in the baby's gut flora? These kinds of things. So I love to do that to just kind of get things off on the right foot for the whole family, really.
Yeah, I think that's so important because, I mean, part of the work I do with clients is to help them see that health and wellness is more complex than food, like diet and exercise, right? Because we often confuse weight loss with health. Mm-hmm. And then we think health mm-hmm. is, you know, move more, eat less. It's like, and a lot of times because we struggle with that, we can't move on to the other things. But I think it's so important as our world. I mean, I've read statistics of, like, you could be the quote unquote cleanest person and, like, babies are still coming in, like, in the cord blood.
Yes.
All toxin. It just because it's a public health policy. It's not an individual issue.
It's
the lack of protections that we have here.
Exactly. Yeah. I do have patients that ask me that, you know, like new patients who come in and, you know, when we kind of come up with a plan, they're like, well, is there any way I can cover this with diet? You know, I am a firm believer in the power of diet. And obviously that needs to be our foundation. Right. Because then it makes everything easy. It makes the healing process easier. But there's no food on earth that's going to detox Lyme microbes out of your body. You know, it requires, or mold toxins for that matter. Those require medicines. You know, it's just what we're exposed to, you know? So yeah, like you said, it's just kind of a fact of life.
I know this is kind of, we're circling back, but one of the things that I think is interesting, because you're also a homeopath, and that's part of what I think work, you know, basically when you detox, it's such a different, like, and I know everyone's different, but I didn't really feel anything like myself when I was doing it. Can you talk about the way that you view medicine? Like when we get an antibiotic or something, we're like kind of wiping the thing out versus you're trying to make the body stronger. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about, I think that's important for people because it's part of this mindset shift. And it's also one of the themes I'm really seeing throughout all these interviews. And I should know this because I help people develop emotional psychological safety, but how important it is for the body to feel safe. And part of that means becoming resilient over the things that we've been exposed to. So, which is part of, I'm circling two things, but I see that almost as the philosophical background of homeopathy in a way.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned homeopathy. That is really my favorite medicine. I mean, I use, there's different kinds of homeopathy. Homeopathy, first of all, but some people come in and they think what I do is homeopathy, but it's just one branch of medicine. But it is my favorite. I did specialize in that in naturopathic school, but classically. So there's classical homeopathy, which is like the administration of one particular remedy with the idea that it's going to fix everything kind of thing. And that's kind of old school homeopathy. But homeopathy, we say, kind of in the way that I use homeopathy, homeopathy reminds the body to do what it already knows how to do. So homeopathy is frequency medicine. And why that is because we can take a substance in nature, like let's say like a flower, like let's say arnica is made from a plant, and we take a we make a tincture out of that, and we take one drop of that tincture and we take 9 drops of water and we succuss that mixture, meaning like we shake it, we hit it. And that's what we call potentizes it. It kind of charges it. And we take 1 drop of that and 9 drops of water and we succuss it again and 1 drop of that. And we can do that process like hundreds of times. And the more, so we're diluting it. The more dilute the remedy is, the more potent it is. And it's just a signal. Frequency is the language of the cells. So homeopathy is cellular medicine. It is a signal to the cells to do what they need to do, basically. So that's why I feel like on the topic of, say, detoxing things like Lyme microbes or mold toxins or candida or what have you, I don't think you could do it without homeopathy. Homeopathy, we do homeopathic detoxification, which is cellular detoxification. In my mind, I don't know that we could really just do it with herbs, like to do herbal antimicrobials, let's say. I don't know that you could actually eradicate the bacteria, the fungus from the body entirely. But with homeopathy, you can, and you can do it fairly quickly. Okay. So I think homeopathy is essential, and it is so, it's so safe. Actually, you can use homeopathy with anybody, regardless of medications. You can do it with pregnant women. You can do it with babies, nursing, anything. It's the safest medicine. You have to know how to use it, you know, but it's just so effective. So that's my favorite. What else? What else can I?
Oh yeah, no. I just love that again, because also for everyone listening, pharmaceuticals are based on similar to what homeopathy does, except they strengthen it by like 10,000 They reduce the whole plant effectiveness in a way. I mean, and I'm totally overgeneralizing here, but it's interesting to think that homeopathy is about diluting it, whereas what Big Pharma is doing is like almost putting it on steroids, right?
And I want to talk. So I get to observe this too. I get to observe in how medications impact the body. And I want to tell you, at least from what I see, the number one place they go is the mitochondria. Like the mitochondria in the body, which is like the powerhouse of every cell, becomes stressed. And that mitochondria produces ATP. It helps our cells repair. So when you compromise that function, that is just, then it's a slippery slope, really. I mean, yeah, the liver has to metabolize, you know, I mean, so the liver becomes stressed as well. But I remember, like, I had a patient come in to me, and there was such a good example of this. She was in her 50s, and she had led a life of excellent health, just one of those really resilient women, okay? And she'd had a recent diagnosis of breast cancer and nothing else, like her whole life, no health issues, no health history. There was nothing. And when we looked at what had happened prior to this, let's see, and she didn't even have a mammogram. She had a mammogram a few months prior and it was clear. And then she went into her doctor and he determined that she had high cholesterol, which I think her cholesterol was barely over 200, if that. And she was put on a statin drug. Statins inhibit the production of CoQ10 in the body. CoQ10 is food for the mitochondria. 3 months later, she found a lump in her breast. Now, are the two related? I certainly thought so. So that's just an example. Like, your body's not lacking a medication. It doesn't have a medication deficiency, right? When something is off in the body, it's just a signal to us that something is interfering in the proper functioning, and that we can go after that with natural medicines, which support the body's functioning. One of my teachers in energetic medicine, I'm not remembering this, but they medications deplete the enzymes in our cells somehow. Like there's a deficiency, there's a destruction that takes place.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that's such a shame she even had to go on it because, you know, the definition of high cholesterol used to be 220 until Big Pharma lobbied to have it lowered to 200. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, I know. It's like you start to realize so much of these health protocols are, I mean, it's nuanced and complex. It's not all Big Pharma influence, but it's, ugh, it's like.
Largely, yeah.
Largely.
Yeah, I know.
So this has been so helpful. I think what people need to understand is that the body, when it feels safe, right, it's almost like infertility, or even if you want to optimize your body for fertility, which is ultimately what everyone's goal should be, even if you're struggling with infertility, is about getting to these underlying root causes. And especially the energetic medicine you look at, you can help us take a layered approach.
Right.
We need to take a layered approach and really look at some of the unsuspecting factors that are what is inhibiting our body rather than what's wrong with our body, what's inhibiting.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's exactly right.
This normal type of function, and that fertility is a side effect of looking at, especially you said, I think a great place to start is your microbiome and what's going on in there. Because like, I know you told me, you're like, most people in Pennsylvania have like some Lyme bacteria. And it makes me think about why do some of us get Lyme disease versus some of us, it may affect us differently, right? Like it was affecting fertility, but I know one of my friends has chronic Lyme and it's caused heart issues. And, you know, so it's
exactly.
just, it's to your point, like every root cause is going to present differently for people.
Yep.
And we need to be clear on that and focus on that. And I think it's especially, I just want to reiterate for people who feel like they've gotten a normal fertility panel, but to Dr. Joy's point, if your body isn't getting pregnant, it's kind of like if you feel really tired, but your doctor tells you your thyroid is normal, you know, trust your body as a better data point and a better metric, I think. Is
exactly
kind of what I've heard you. That's one of the takeaways I'm taking from.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Your body knows.
Yeah. And so also just for people listening, obviously we have like a global audience. You can work with people remotely. I mean, I think that's
what
is so interesting about energy medicine. So
yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, we can, it's just the same because of the way energy works. The founding principle of quantum physics is two subatomic particles can communicate spontaneously, irregardless of the distance. So in that sense, my testing your energy is the same thing as testing your physical body, basically. And I just use myself as a surrogate test. And we do that over Zoom. And so you're very present and seeing the testing as it's going on. And I see you and you see me, and it's great. Yeah, I've got patients all over the world.
I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. Any parting words about optimizing your body for fertility that I didn't ask you about?
Goodness, I think we've really covered everything. But this is just, I really do, I love getting women pregnant.
Do we really need more people? That's what I ask myself when I'm, as someone carrying a child. Not kidding, and I did it anyway, so.
No. It's great. It's great because, again, I love helping to create healthy pregnancy, healthy conception, healthy pregnancy, healthy children, because again, they are our future, and your body can do it. Your body can do it. It's just like you said, unlocking the code. It's just a matter of like putting the key and unlocking it, and it just things fall into place. So, you know, you can 100% have hope that it is possible, probable. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You really don't think 40 is an age limit either, right? Like you're like, as long as the body's healthy, let's do this.
Absolutely. I think the 40s, and especially, you know, women are worried about, oh, well, you know, what about the chance for like genetic malformations, what have you? If you clean your body up, you're definitely greatly reducing the risk of that. And I've had numerous patients have babies into their 40s. Yeah.
I love hearing that. We need more evidence-based medicine versus belief-based medicine, right? That's shrouded in ageism around women.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Well, wonderful. Where can people find you, Dr. Joy? We'll obviously have links to your website and everything on in our show notes, but if people want to go right away.
Yes. So it's just the website is Dr. Joy Sturgill, D-R-J-O-Y-S-T FurGill.com. And there are links on there to make an appointment. Phone numbers there. The office phone is 412-321-3231. And the email is info@drjoysturgill.com. Those are all the ways. We have a Facebook page. Admittedly, I'm not incredibly active. Excuse me. It's Dr. Joy Sturgill. And I do have an Instagram page too, Dr. Joy Sturgill. Those are the various ways.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time and taking us 30 years into the future. So we have those kind of results now.
Thank you, Allie, so much. This has been such a pleasure. I really appreciate speaking with you and everybody.
Wonderful. Thank you, Health Rebels, for tuning in today. Have a reaction, question, or want the transcript from today's episode? Find me at AllieShapiro.com. I'd love if you leave a review on Apple Podcast and tell your friends and family about Insatiable. It helps us grow our community and share a new way of approaching health in our bodies. Thanks for engaging in a different kind of conversation. And remember, always, your body truths are unique, profound, real, and liberating. Thank you.